CRTC has just recently made a decision to revoke the FM broadcast license of our sister station, CKLN. As Toronto's oldest campus community station, CKLN has been broadcasting since 1983. If you are listening to this station, then you probably understand the importance of community access radio. Please help support our sister station. Find out how you can keep CKLN on the air by visiting their website, www.ckln.fm.
The following is brought to you by Echo Weekly. I'm publisher Sean Rosen, and I've been asked to record a radio spot and talk to you about why you should read Echo Weekly. So, do yourself a favor. Pick up a copy of Echo Weekly. Check it out. And if you don't, ask yourself why. Because as a person, you might be lacking. Thank you. Echo Weekly. Free every Thursday.
Action Read Community Literacy Center offers one-on-one tutoring and small group learning in reading, writing, math, and computers for adults aged 18 and over in Guelph. At Action Read, we help you identify what you're good at so you can work towards your goals. Learn skills to get the job you want, to work on personal budgets, creative writing projects, for test preparation, and to improve study skills. Our services are free and no referral is needed. If Action Read sounds like the place for you or someone you know, contact us at 519-836-2759 or visit us on the web at actionread.com.
This is Walter Garrison, the host of Locafor on CFRU 93.3 FM. And today we're going to be talking with Sean Becker from Filsinger's Organic Foods. I had the opportunity to interview Sean at the Guelph Organic Conference a couple of weeks ago, which was really a very invigorating and stimulating conference. There are a lot of different growers and processors, and really was quite fascinated with what is being done in the organic movement right now. Certainly from the standpoint of when you look at the industry, the organic agriculture industry, and I guess I can call it that, in the last 10 years, it certainly has grown. It's developed, and in some respects, it's really matured. In the next, I would say, few sessions, we are going to talk about the different aspects of local and organic and how they come together. So I'll be interviewing people, including Tom Manley from Organic Central and Martin DeGroot from Mapleton's Organic Ice Cream, Robert Kunzlund from Harmony Organic. So a number of different people that have been involved for a number of years in food production, local food production, and organic food production. So a little bit of background about Filsinger's. Filsinger's is an operation that's about, I guess, 45 minutes to an hour north of Guelph, and they specialize in apple products. They also have pear products as well, too, apple butter and apple sauce and cider vinegar. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the interview with Sean, and have you listen to him talk about Phil Singer's organics. I'm speaking with Sean Becker from Phil Singer's Organic Foods. And Sean, I wanted to ask you, you specialize in apple products. What are the most popular and in-demand products that you sell?
We produce a variety of apple products, including apple butter, apple sauce, sweet apple cider, and apple cider vinegar. I would say our most popular product is our unpasteurized apple cider vinegar. It seems that more and more people are taking apple cider vinegar on a daily basis because of the many health benefits that people enjoy from it.
Can you describe the process of making apple cider and apple cider vinegar?
Our apple cider is made from tree-picked apples. It's put into our apple press and then pasteurized and bottled. Nothing is added to it, and it's not filtered. So you get the taste of fresh pressed juice with the settlings in the bottom, which enhances the flavor. Our apple cider vinegar is pressed and stored in wooden tanks where it ferments. After fermentation, the vinegar is agitated until the alcohol is removed, leaving the acetic acid, which creates the vinegar. It's not pasteurized and has a mother of vinegar in it, which is what consumers today are looking for.
So there you have it, unpasteurized, it's not filtered, and it goes through a natural fermentation process. And it reminds me of the interview that I did with Roger Lambert of Mr. Vinegar as well, too. Although what Phil Singer is doing is specializing in apple products and apple cider vinegar. So certainly people have been using apple cider vinegar as an antibiotic and an antiseptic as well. In the next part of the interview, we're going to look at the demographics of the people that actually purchase products from Phil Singer's. So can you describe the demographic of your clients who buy products from Phil Singer's?
Our clients are a diverse group. We have the baby boomers who are looking for healthy alternatives to the conventional apple products. We also have a number of new parents who want to feed their children healthy products without additives or preservatives. And then the general public that is concerned about the amount of pesticides and herbicides used on conventional apples. They're also, the consumer today is aware of the benefits of eating local organic produce compared to ones that are shipped in from whether BC or California. And everybody knows that eating local has a number of benefits which more and more people are becoming aware of.
Now, your customers, what do they look for in an apple, and what are the most popular apple cultivars with your customers?
Our customers are more concerned about the way the apples are grown, I would say, than the actual physical look of the apple. Organic apples are generally a bit smaller and may have some minor imperfections on them, but the taste of our apples can't be beat. As far as varieties, we're seeing a trend towards either old heritage cultivars like russets or Cox and Orange. And the other way it's going is towards the very new varieties like the Royal Galas, Ambrosia, and Honeycrisps. So over the past couple years, we've actually planted between 3,000 and 5,000 new trees. And we've kind of gone either the old school heritage varieties or with the new varieties that have come out. The standard Ontario Macintosh apple is kind of on its way out with the consumer today.
Okay. And now with the way that you planted the trees, now the older heritage varieties, are you planting them like a standard way that older orchards would be, or are you planting them the new way like slender spindle or super spindle?
Ours are on like a semi-dwarf rootstock. You can put any kind of variety onto any kind of apple. So what we actually do is we actually buy the rootstock. And then from there, we graft whatever variety of tree we want onto it. So a heritage variety doesn't have to go on an old standard size tree. It can go on to the smaller ones. And the reason that we go to the smaller ones is the smaller trees are more vigorous. They produce bigger fruit. And they're a lot easier to prune as well as maintain. You don't need to climb up on the ladders anymore. So it's a lot faster for pickers as well.
Now, how important is it to your customers that you are certified organic?
It's very important that we are certified organic. It's the number one reason that people buy our apples and our apple products. The second biggest reason would be the whole buy local movement. but I believe that organic and local is the gold standard when it comes to buying your fruits and vegetables. There's so many benefits to shopping this way. You cut down on pesticides and herbicides in your diet and the environment, as well as making a smaller carbon footprint.
So it's very interesting. He talks about russet and Cox orange pippin apples. And Cox orange pippin is an English variety. It's orange red in color. It's a quite complex aromatic flavor. It's fine and has a sweet and sweet sour actually tanginess to it. So probably be excellent in processed products such as cider. Now russets are a little bit different. They've got rough brown patches on the skin. And just reading about it, part of its success might be to the marketing that it's been done. It's found a niche. It certainly is different. It looks russet, more like a potato in some ways from the color. Obviously, from form, it still looks like an apple. But the skin itself, when you pick it up, feels kind of like fine sandpaper. And it's a medium-sized apple. The flesh keeps dry, and it gets drier with keeping. And the flavor is described as somewhat nutty. Yet Egremont Russell is surprisingly a versatile apple used in savory salads and as a partner for cheese. So that's a whole other aspect. If anybody's ever had pancakes with cheese, I've had them with pears, where you actually will caramelize the pears on a frying pan. But I think russet apples would probably be a good choice. And what we're going to do now is we are going to play a song from Tanis Sleeman from her album Lucky Blue, and this is called Spirit House.
Thank you.
That was Tana Sliman from her album Lucky Blue, and the song was called Spirit House. Okay, so we're going to continue with our interview with Sean Becker from Filsingers. And in this next segment, we're going to talk about how Filsingers attempts to be sustainable. Certainly, they're certified organic, and there's many facets to what they do that you face in your operation.
I would say the biggest challenge is keeping our apples and apple trees healthy using only approved crop inputs for organic certification. If 25% of our apples that we grow are good enough and look good enough for the fresh apple market, then that's a success for us. So there are a few products that we can use to control things like apple scab and pest, but they're not nearly as effective as the conventional products. But they are natural, and that's what the consumer wants.
Now, is the vast majority of your apples going into processed products?
Yeah, about 75% of our apples go into processed products. Basically, the only thing is they have, you know, they'll have some spots on it, or they'll be misshaped or a smaller size than the other ones for a variety of reasons. But they definitely taste good, and they're still of high quality.
Where can people source your products?
We have a number of health food stores that carry our products. On our website, filsingersorganic.com, we have a list of stores that carry our products. You can drive up to the farm near Ayton. Here in Guelph, I know the Stone Store carries our products. If you ever want to come visit our farm, just continue on Highway 6 North through Mount Forest, and you turn left on Gray Road 9, and you'll see our farm with a big yellow sign out front.
Now, how do you incorporate sustainability into your operation?
Well, at our operation, everything we do is designed with sustainability in mind. First of all the products we use on our apples are non-toxic to the wildlife and bees that live in our orchards. We process a number of apples, and any leftovers or byproducts from that is composted, and then it's spread on the field the following year. We also prune our trees each year, and the wood that is collected from the trees we use in our outdoor furnace to heat the buildings in the winter. So we basically use everything that we can on the farm. We also use glass bottles and jars for our products, which can be reused or recycled, so there isn't as much waste going to the landfill sites.
What do you see with the growth in the local food movement, not only the organic movement, but the local food movement? And as you say, the gold standard, having local and organic. What do you see as future growth potentials for Filsingers?
Well, I think there's growth potential for all of our products. The majority of apples, organic apples sold in Ontario, are grown in BC or the US. So there's definitely room for growth in the fresh apple market. Like I said, we've planted a number of trees over the past couple of years to try to meet that demand, and we're also planting some organic pear trees as well, because to find an Ontario organic pears is almost impossible. Mm-hmm. Our processed apple products, also the sales continue to increase there as well, as the demand for local, organic, and minimally post-processed products continues to grow. For example, the majority of the apple cider vinegar sold in Ontario actually comes from California as well. So really, why not switch to a local brand? Our vinegar is made right here in Ontario from apples grown in Ontario, and it's bottled in Ontario, so it's organic and it's local.
So what are they doing? Well, they're trying to keep up with demand by planting more trees, and planting trees, half of which would be the more familiar commercial varieties that you might see in the store, like Ambrosia, and then also these heritage varieties like Russet and Cox Orange Pippin as well. When we look at where apple cider vinegar is coming from, a lot of it's coming from, as Sean says, California. So why not switch and buy a product that's actually from apples grown in Ontario, processed in Ontario, bottled in Ontario, and then sold in Ontario? And as Sean says, the word needs to get out that there is a local organic alternative. And again, I want to direct you to that website. It's www.filsingersorganic.com. and you will get the information on products that they have through that website. Now, another aspect that I think is really important is we have to look at competition. And when Chris Dulshoff and Kendra Sauerteig were on here a few shows ago talking about their research into apple production in Canada, the point came up that, you know, New Zealand could basically supply Canada with all the apples it consumed if controlled atmosphere storage was utilized for those apples. And CA storage, controlled atmosphere storage, has the potential to keep apples for up to, well, 16 months. And certainly the technology, I guess, is there. So this is just one, you know, demonstrative articulation of how the apple industry in Ontario is facing increased competition from imported apples. So I'm going to ask Sean in our next segment how the Ontario apple industry is responding to this competition from other countries. The Ontario apple industry has been facing increased competition from imported apples. How has the industry responded to this, and what do you think can be done to increase the percentage of Ontario-grown apples that Ontario consumers purchase and eat?
Well, I think we need to continue to educate the consumer on why it makes more sense to buy local fruits and vegetables. I don't know about you, but I want to know where my food has been grown, and I also want to know when it was picked, harvested, and that it took the shortest route to market. Not shipped from overseas or trucked across the country. As far as the apple grows, we also need to provide varieties that are in demand for our customers. Over the past 3 years, there's been a lot of old Ontario orchards that have been taken out of production and replanted with newer varieties because of a government grant that came in to help us do that. So I think over the next 4 to 5 years, you're going to see an increase in the number of Ontario apples sold. Just because we're going to have what's in demand for the consumer, and I think there is a shift going towards more local food.
In the last 10 years, what would you say the organic movement has done well?
I think we've did a good job lately on getting our own Canadian organic standards. I think that'll help consumers find local and Canadian organic products. We've also seen a big increase in the amount and the quality of the organic products on the market. And the market share for organic foods has increased tremendously over the past 10 years. So this is a confirmation that we are on the right track.
Are there areas that you see that the organic movement could improve upon?
I still think there's a long way to go in increasing awareness for what organic means and to differentiate our stuff from conventional producers. I think our message gets lost sometimes in a world where we hear a lot of names like all natural or diet this or light products. We also have to compete against the buy local movement, which is great, but I think we still need to educate people that local and organic is the gold standard for when it comes to food.
So local and organic is the gold standard when it comes to food. In fact, if you go on to the OMAF website, the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture and Food and Rural Affairs, OMAFRA website, I should say, you will see information on organic farming certification, and there is the Canada Organic Standard. So on June 17th, 2009, Canada and the United States entered into an agreement recognizing our national organic systems to be equivalent. They're subject to several exceptions. But now you have this symbol, Canada Organic, which is recognized internationally. Now, no, really, we're not talking about necessarily exporting organic products to outside Canadian borders, but I think it's important that we actually have this unifying certification. I remember when I was an organic grower a few years ago, there were several certifying bodies you could get your organic certification from. And in one sense, this harmonizes things. And I suppose for ease of movement of organic product, even amongst different provinces, it probably is a good thing. Now, there's another aspect to this, and that's just looking at who's getting involved in farming. And I asked Sean about this because less people are involved in agriculture than ever before. Certainly, you see in the Guelph area, you've got a number of I guess you could call them urban agriculture projects that are on the move, that have, are at least a few years old. And certainly younger people, especially younger women, are getting involved in agriculture, and especially local agriculture. In other words, supplying produce, supplying meat products, supplying dairy products to consumers that are, in essence, 100 kilometers or less away from their operation. So this is an interesting trend. But still, when you look at the numbers of people involved in agriculture versus other industries in this country, it is very low. And we've sort of talked about food security, touched on it in several interviews, and I think we're going to have a panel on this at some point. But I want to let Sean talk about how Filsinger's got, upgraded when they came into the picture a few years ago, and also talk about the price of organic food as well. Less people are involved in agriculture than ever before. How can we encourage people, especially young people, to become involved in farming and make it a sustainable transition, not one dependent upon them having to work a 40-hour week off the farm?
Well, you know, this is a difficult question for me to answer. I think it's one of the biggest obstacles that we face. We bought Filsing Organic Farms 4.5 years ago, and it was a partnership between four of us. To start from scratch in the tender fruit market takes a lot of capital and time. If you just think about it for a minute, you have to start out and buy the farm first of all today, which is a lot of money, especially depending on where you are in the province. And from there, you need to buy trees and plant them. Compound that with the fact that the apple grower won't harvest an apple for 3 years of production. You can see why it's such a tough market to get into. But I think all farmers are in the same situation, regardless of what type of farming you're into. They all have their barriers to entry, and to be honest, I'm not sure what the answer is to that question.
Okay, fair enough. It's a very difficult question to answer. This question, I'm sure, has been asked before, but certified organic food can be more costly than conventionally produced food, and depending on your status in society, it may not be affordable for you. So how do we reconcile this idea of giving farmers a fair price for what they produce while making it affordable for consumers, especially those consumers that would probably like to buy organic, but it's difficult for them to afford to or to have more of it in their weekly diet?
Yeah, I get this question quite often about the price of organic food. Of course, it's going to be more expensive because it's harder to grow crops organically. We also need to account for the cost of getting certified, as well as, you know, the administration costs of keeping our organic records in place. But I still think there are a number of ways you can keep the cost of buying organic lower. First of all, buy organic produce when it's in season. If you are buying locally produced organic food in season, the price is not that much different than if you were to buy a conventional tomato in March, which has been imported into Canada. The other thing you can do is find organic growers in your area and visit their farm directly. There are a number of local organic growers that have like a farm gate store where you can buy your fruits and vegetables right from them. A big trend going is something you could join something called a community supported agriculture group, which you pay for your produce ahead of time, ensuring a good price and supply for the summer. And the last thing you could do is you can always grow a few fruits and vegetables yourself. If you grow, let's just say, some carrots, which will keep for months if they're stored properly, you can take the money that you save and buy some other organic produce which you're unable to grow yourself. Whenever I get a question about the price of organic food, I always wonder why people buy the cheapest fruits or vegetables. To me, the food we buy and eat is so important to our health and the energy that we have and the environment that it's worth the extra money. It's your body that you're feeding, so you have to ask yourselves, am I worth a little bit of extra to ensure they're getting the best possible food for myself?
Okay,